The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Jesus answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that moment. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. My preaching folder is a little too big for this. Okay. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The disciples don't want to hear her cries. Whose cries do we not want to hear? They say to Jesus, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." And Jesus himself seems content to just ignore her. Matthew tells us that he did not answer her at all before the disciples intervened. This woman, her daughter is tormented, besieged, plagued, sick. And she just wants her daughter to be well again. To dance and to sing and to roll around on the floor and tell her mom about her day. We don't know hardly anything about this woman. Just that she lives in the region of Tyre and Sidon and that Matthew calls her a Canaanite. And that's interesting because this story also appears in the Gospel of Mark. And when it does, Mark uses the ethnogeographic marker of Syrophoenician woman. So by choosing to name the woman Canaanite instead of Syrophoenician, Matthew is doing something a little different with this story. He's choosing to foreground the tension between these two people groups. The Canaanites and the Israelites have a long and storied history. Just go back and read the book of Joshua. It's not pretty. In fact, it involves a lot of slaughter and bloodshed. The other thing we know about this woman, besides the fact that she is a Canaanite or a Syrophoenician woman, is that she is a mother. There is a singular reason she has come before Jesus on this day. Her daughter is not well, and she believes that Jesus is the one who can heal her daughter. We often talk about the love of a parent for their child and how it knows no bounds. Well, this woman very purposefully transgresses the boundaries between her and Jesus to ask for her daughter to be made well. These are social boundaries, not physical ones, but they are strong, very rigid social boundaries. Gender, ethnic status, and religion all separate Jesus and this woman. And yet she still believes fervently that Jesus can be the one to heal and to save her daughter. So when this woman approaches Jesus, she does so with reverence. She doesn't do so just casually. She asks for Jesus to have mercy on her. But she also addresses him as Lord and Son of David. She is acknowledging his kingship, but she's not doing it quietly. Have you ever wanted so much Something so much that you would go out in public and yell at a man for it? Not just any man, but the man who is said to be special and miraculous, the king of all the world. Have you ever wanted something that much that you would throw caution to the wind and go yell at Jesus? If we lived in the first century, it might be difficult to imagine just going out in the public square and yelling at Jesus. But I have a feeling that you might know what you would ask of Jesus if the opportunity presented itself. I have a feeling that if Jesus were to pass through this room, we would all get a rapid sense of the most pressing need, the thing that we want or want for someone else more than anything. Would we be able to ask it with the fervor that this woman does? Are there things that brim out of the wellsprings of your heart that you can't put into words, and yet if Jesus were to stand right here, you couldn't help but whisper them, yell them even, to Jesus? And yet, when we get to the point where Jesus finally answers her, it's not to grant her wish. It's to say that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so this woman, who wants more than anything for her daughter to be saved and healed, instead of continuing to cry loudly, instead of giving up in frustration, which is perhaps what you or I would do, she comes and kneels before him. She addresses him once more as Lord and asks for help. She asks for help. That is her great act of faith. It is perseverance in the face of a no. It is asking for help in the face of perhaps not being able to get it. To ask for help requires a great act of faith and also very little faith at all. Last week, we heard about Peter, who walked on water. When Peter starts sinking into the waves, Jesus says to him, "O you of little faith." But what if Jesus was actually commending the little faith that Peter had to step out of the boat in the first place? In other places in the Gospels, Jesus says that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will move mountains. And here in this Gospel story in Matthew, the woman approaches with faith that is at once both great and little and asks for help. Can we do that? Can we approach God with the little faith, the faith the size of a mustard seed, and ask for God's help? Ask for the help of the people that God has placed around us, the hands and feet of Christ in this world. What does it look like to ask for help? Maybe it looks like asking for help when you're moving. 2 years ago, when my spouse and I moved into our apartment, it looked like asking our friends for that very help, for lifting boxes of books and a rug or four and various furniture, including our 7-foot yellow antique velvet sofa that we ended up having to take the door off the hinges to get inside. Yesterday, I helped friends move from JP to Hyde Park, and the three of us managed to do an enormous amount of work. Maybe it's the less concrete help, the asks for someone to sit with you while you are grieving, to make a cup of tea and just be present. Maybe an ask for help looks like a big question. Will you help pay my tuition or my medical bills? Maybe it looks like a little one. Will you send me a good morning text every now and then so I know that someone is thinking of me? There are so many possible asks for help that we can make. And each one of them is premised on faith, on a belief that someone will help. In whatever way you can, in whatever way God enables you to, And the woman in this story, she asks Jesus for help. And when he seems to reject her, she asks again. And it is in this moment that the reward comes. Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. Jesus sees her. He looks at her and he sees her. He sees her faith and he calls it out for the whole world to see. This woman, this outsider, this Canaanite, she has great faith. For in the face of difficulty, in the face of Jesus saying no, she persevered. Hear the good news today, church. Jesus sees your faith, your asks for help, and will answer them. So, may you ask for help from God and your community. May you persevere when help doesn't seem to want to come. And may your faith, your little great faith, be recognized by Christ and by all. In the name of the Christ who grants our requests and calls our little faith great. Amen.